Governance, risk management, and compliance. It can't happen to us. Avoiding corporate disaster while driving success. Author, Richard Steinberg. When the ship is sinking. Any chief executive whose ship is sinking is likely to ask, how did this happen? How did I allow myself and my company to end up like this? Directors of once great companies also find themselves asking similar questions. Keys to getting compliance right. Companies typically have in place a number of policies and procedures directed at legal and regulatory compliance, including a code of conduct, whistleblower channel, educational programs, and annual employee sign-offs. In some large companies, depending on the industry, there's a designated chief compliance officer and staff, whereas in other general counsel or other corporate lawyer services in the role. But too often, these are disparate elements that fail to function effectively as a true compliance program. Strategic perspective. Moving from seeing compliance as a costly but necessary evil, forward-looking management teams see the bigger picture, beginning with the realization that new laws and regulations arise from corporate actions that cause damage. Each legislative or regulatory reaction raises the performance bar in such areas as product safety, human resource discrimination, information privacy and security, the environment, sales practices, and financial reporting. Building into business processes. Recognizing the underlying motivations behind legal and regulatory requirements and related marketplace expectations, forward-looking companies align their compliance processes with the company's business goals and objectives and build it to existing business processes. As such, responsibility for compliance rests not with the compliance officer, but rather with each and every line and staff manager in their spheres of responsibility. A program founded on ethics and integrity. Central to an effective compliance program is an ethics policy designed to meet the activities and culture of the company. The policy needs to be sufficiently comprehensive, but also organized and written to be understandable and readily accessible as needed to deal with day-by-day, real-life issues. Risk and risk management. Being in business is about accepting risk. What's essential is to know what risks are and how to manage them to achieve business goals. In context of risk management, risk means uncertainty surrounding a potential event. It's the possibility that something will happen with a negative outcome. Risk management involves identifying a risk, understanding it, and its implications, and doing something about it. Enterprise risk management. Enterprise risk management, or ERM, is a company's holistic process to identify, assess, and manage risk that could interfere with achieving any of its corporate objectives. ERM consists of 8 interrelated components derived from the way management runs the company and integrated with the management process. 1. Internal environment. The internal environment encompasses the tone of an organization and sets the basis for how risk is viewed and addressed by an entity's people. 2. Objective setting. Objectives must exist before management can identify potential events affecting their achievement. 3. Event identification. Internal and external events affecting achievement of an entity's objectives must be identified. 4. Risk assessment. Risks are analyzed, considering likelihood and impact, as a basis for determining how they should be managed. 5. Risk response. Management selects risk responses avoiding, accepting, reducing, or sharing risk developing, a set of actions to align risks with the entity's risk tolerance and risk appetite. 6. Control activities. Policies and procedures are established and implemented to help ensure the risk responses are effectively carried out. 7. Information and communication. Relevant information is identified, captured, and communicated in a form and time frame that enable people to carry out their responsibilities. 8. Monitoring. The entirety of enterprise risk management is monitored and modifications are made as necessary. ERM pitfalls. Managements have often fallen into any number of traps while seeking effective ERM. Here, we will share those experiences to help those of you looking to embrace ERM in order to avoid similar traps. Wavering support from the top. The initial impetus for ERM usually does not come from the chief executive. Rather, discussion of ERM often is initiated at the level of the board, with the full board or audit committee seeking to ensure it's apprised of all significant risks. An administrative burden. Another major pitfall is drifting away from the main purpose of implementing ERM in the first place, to support managers' ability to make better business decisions in accomplishing corporate objectives and instead turning the program into an administrative nightmare. Misplaced responsibility for risk management. Senior management tends to want to fix responsibility for risk management in one individual, usually an existing or newly designated chief risk officer. Yes, a chief risk officer is extremely helpful, if not critical to effective ERM. But operating managers must be responsible and held accountable for effective risk management. ERM works well when, and because, it's built into the fabric of the organization and executed by those with the requisite authority and responsibility for running the process. Viewing training as a panacea. Clarifying what people need to know about ERM is a must, including how ERM is designed in the company to fit the way business is managed. But long before training can begin, decisions need to be made on whether ERM will be built into all business processes and departmental units during the project's design and build stages, or for some processes or units that will be done by the processes or unit leaders after initial implementation. Performance measurement and reporting. Investors ultimately want to see a fair, if not superior, return on their investment, with share price typically driven by such measures as profit, earning per share, cash flow, and assorted value added and return metrics. Looking beyond measures, some companies use any of a wide range of canned measures to assess performance, but there's another, usually more effective approach directed at the specific circumstances of a particular company. Because strategies and performance goals must be risk-based, another step in the linkage is identifying, assessing, and managing related risks. With plans for managing risks in place, performance measures can be formulated, often in the context of an established categorization. Avoiding board pitfalls. Boards of directors have extremely challenging jobs, especially in today's highly competitive and litigious environment, with marketplace and shareholder expectations seemingly ever increasing. Following the herd. Where organizations have failed, sometimes spectacularly, is where a healthy competitive desire turns into an obsessive need to match peer performance, regardless of extraordinarily high risk and possible ultimate cost. The result in such circumstances can mean betting the ranch and losing the bet. Best practices. Unfortunately, this term and others like it too often are used to describe what really common practices are, or practices that successful organizations use with little evidence that those practices actually drive success. While following so-called best practices can be viewed as learning from the success of others, there's also a potential trap in blindly following what others are doing. Groupthink. Truly successful boards avoid groupthink, allowing individual directors to express their thinking and make a case for alternative actions. Importantly, major issues are discussed over the course of several meetings so that all sides of an issue can be thoroughly considered. The holy grail of governance. Alignment. Shareholders, boards of directors, and managements should agree on one thing. The primary goal of a corporation is to add shareholder value on a sustained basis. However measured adding value is primary goal. Yes, acting with integrity and high ethical values and going beyond compliance with applicable laws and regulations are extremely important, and indeed, support the objective of adding value. Some believe that helping to satisfy the needs of other stakeholders also is an important purpose of the corporate entity. But the primary corporate goal here is adding shareholder value. Put simply, this holy grail is about consistency of purpose and relationship and mutual supportiveness of strategy, implementation plan, organization, resources, performance metrics, and compensation, all risk-based. In concept, the idea is straightforward. In execution, it's highly challenging. The secret map. Here's a head start. It all begins with an effective strategy. But to some extent, it's an iterative process, because the strategy cannot ignore the current business and its organization, processes, and people. Strategy, however, should not be wedded to the current state. To the extent that a revised strategy is not supported with what now exists, there's that much more need for change to attain the necessary alignment. Beyond that, there must be a commitment and cooperation among top management, other managers at many levels, and the board. Making it happen takes a good deal of hard work, with sound conceptual thinking, leadership, and attention to detail.